Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been hangry? That is a combination of hungry, and then that being hungry leads you to be angry. Right? You just haven't eaten. Maybe, you know, for me, normally it happens around like the 4 or 5 hour mark since I last ate. And so at a certain point, when I haven't had anything to eat since lunchtime, and we're making it to dinner around 6 o'clock, I get pretty hangry. And you really don't want to be in my path on that particular moment. Well, in our text for today, the Israelites are hangry. Right? They're hungry, and they don't understand why. Okay? They expect God, or in this case, Moses and Aaron, to do something about it. But really, they don't have any reason for that sort of mentality. The people of Israel, they had only left Egypt about 45 days ago. Okay? That's how far we are from the Exodus event. They leave Egypt 45 days. And so they've seen God's power in the 10 plagues. They've seen God's power even as they're leaving Egypt, and they ask the Egyptians for like their treasure. Like, give me your jewelry and your most valued possessions. And the Egyptians are like, okay. Which is just like, nobody does that, right? And so that in itself is a miracle. And so they're leaving Egypt, not with nothing, but with an abundance of earthly possessions, right? And then, you know, the Lord guides them all the way to the Red Sea. And again, it seems like they're stuck. What are they going to do? God's got this one too, right? He sends Moses in the water, and this pathway of dry ground is cleared, and they walk through, and God had provided again, time and time again. And this whole time, right, during the nighttime, God is there in this giant pillar of fire, and during the day, he's there in this big pillar of cloud, and God shows them over and over again, not only his power in a magnificent way, but that he is going to provide for his people in whatever way he knows is best. And so really, the people of Israel, their protection here under this divine God is undeniable. And yet, how do they respond? They get hangry, right? They grumble, as Israel often did. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." I'm so hungry I could die. Right? I mean, that's the layman's terms. You see, it wasn't enough that God had a perfect track record of providing for his people. They still weren't content with how God was dealing with them. But God shows what sort of provider he is here, right? Because what does he do? He shows them his patience. And to be honest, he actually gives them exactly what they ask for. What did they long for? Meat pots. God, we want meat. And so what does God do? But he sends the quail into the camp in the evening. God, we want bread. And so he sends them this flaky sort of sweet bread that was on the ground every morning. Bread we know as manna. And so it was God blessing them to sustain them and nourish them while they wandered around. And what would be the next 40 years. Okay? And the Lord even tells us why he acts this way. He tells us why he sends them this. He tells them why he has patience. He says, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." He's testing them. You see, the bread that God provided came with instructions. He said, "Gather 1 day's worth." That is, until you come to Friday, which is the day before the Sabbath. And on that day, gather 2 days' worth, because there will be no bread on the Sabbath day. Guess what's going to be on the ground in the morning? Manna. Guess what's going to be on the ground on the morning after that? Manna. And the morning after that will be manna. God makes this future promise for them that you're going to get manna, and you're going to get manna, and everyone is going to get manna. And God was looking to see if they would trust his word for the future. God has already promised they're going to have manna, as much manna as they need for, you know, 10 days from now it's going to be there. But will they trust him? And sadly, they do not. They fail. You see, just a few verses later, we learn how the Israelites respond. Some tried to save the manna, right? They gathered enough for maybe 2 days. And what happens is when they woke up in the morning, they noticed that the manna wasn't manna anymore. It was spoiled. It was gross, and it had bred worms in it, right? Because that's what happens when you don't trust God to provide on day two, okay? You have to deal with a mess. And then, you know, there were some Israelites who on the sixth day, right, on that Friday, they didn't gather twice as much as God told them. And so they go outside, you know, on nice, brisk Saturday morning, expecting to get their manna off the ground. And what do they see? Nothing. They have to go hungry. Why? Because that is what happens when you don't trust God's word. There's none. Now, this is the kicker, right? The Lord is providing them with physical sustenance. He's giving them exactly what they asked for. And he's even giving them the instructions on how they can collect exactly what they need. And yet they're still disobedient. They're still sinful. What gives? Why? To you and me, doesn't it seem like it's spelled out so easily? Okay, collect 1 day, except 1 day a week you have to collect twice as much. But this is easy, guys. The problem is that their faith is imperfect. The people, they're self-centered, they're needy, and they're in constant need of attention. They need their faith strengthened on a continual basis. And so as we read this text from thousands of years ago, again, it seems so simple. Yet the truth is that we struggle in just the same way. You see, our God, he has revealed himself to us in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to each one, we ascribe a very specific way in which he provides. It touches every single part of our life. We need something physically for our bodies. Well, guess what? We have a God that we call Father, a God who loves to give us good things, right? The Father provides. He's created heaven and earth and all that is in them. Everything we see in this church, everything we see in this world, it only exists because God created it. He gives you what you need to support your body and life. Yet, we're not always content with that. I have a car that gets me from point A to point B, but I'd really like a much nicer car. You see how that works? I have a wonderful house to live in, but I'd really like a much better house to live in. Maybe bigger, right? I have a really nice TV, but maybe I want my TV to be 10 inches larger. You see, God gives us what we need, but for some reason, we always have this mentality that we want more, that what he has given is not enough. But what does God do? He's patient with you. And he shows time and time again that you might not have everything you want, but you do have everything you need. And yet, we have another person of the Trinity yet, right? God doesn't just take care of our physical bodies, but he takes care of us spiritually. And so he sends Jesus, right? We all know we're sinners. If we all have this sort of discontentment within us from God, you know, towards God the Father, we call that sin. Which means that we have a problem because people don't enter heaven with sin. And so God sends Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, was buried. He lived a perfect life, and he died for a sin-filled world. He shed his blood and he breathed his last to provide forgiveness and life and salvation for you. That way, when your mind and when the world and when the whole, everything working together leads you to despair over the things that you have done wrong in your life, Jesus is there to declare, my blood forgives you. My death atones for you. You have nothing to fear from your sin. He provides for you. Even for people who are filled with grumblings and doubts, people who can do nothing good in God's sight. But the thing is that event actually happened 2,000 years ago, give or take. And so we have a third person of the Trinity, right? Jesus provides us with the salvation, but we still have to receive it. How many of you guys were there at the crucifixion event? How many of you guys heard Jesus' sermon from John chapter 6 about how he is the very bread of life? No, that was too long ago, right? And so God provides us with a means by which we can receive these gifts, Right? He not only places us in a world with, you know, many different people, with many different vocations, with doctors and nurses and government officials and people who take care of us in that way physically, but then he provides us with a way to receive his spiritual blessings, a divine distribution system, if you will. And we call him the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He preaches the Lord's word into your ears. Because the truth is that none of you have come to faith by yourself. There was a pastor in your past at some point, or maybe even a pastor recently, right? Or your parents who brought you to the baptismal font. There is someone in your life who spoke the gospel into your ears that you might believe. And that person, he was sent by the Holy Spirit. Because the only way we can confess Jesus, the only way we know about the death and resurrection of our Lord, is if the Holy Spirit provides it for us. That's the whole point of the ascension, right? Jesus goes up into heaven, and that way he can provide us with the Holy Spirit who will be with us for all time. And the Holy Spirit delivers us these gifts of God, this forgiveness and this salvation in three different ways, right? Through words, spoken, preached, read, right? Words of Jesus. Through baptism, that is when God promised that moment in time when he said, "You are my child," definitively, without any ifs, ands, or buts about it. And in the bread from heaven, the manna, the Lord Jesus Christ who visits our altar, who is truly present with us in his very body and blood. You know, the people from our gospel text, they said, "Lord, give us this bread always." I pray that the Holy Spirit would give us that sort of faith, not the sort of faith that grumbles against God, but the sort of faith that goes, "I need Jesus always." And that's what the Holy Spirit provides for you. My friends, the truth is that we're not that far off from the people of Israel. We grumble. A lot of times we are discontent with this life. But in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our discontentment, know this, that the Lord will still provide for you both body and soul, because his track record is perfect. My friends, the Lord is patient with you just as he was with his people of old. And though his people on earth will always be imperfect, the Lord still loves you enough to provide. Because you are those who not trust in the manna that God gave to his people thousands of years ago, but you are those who trust in his manna that he gives now for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.